I'm walking, heading to the shop.
Yeah.
Before I get to the shop, so I bump these guys. These two guys who approached me.
Okay.
He discharged the firearm. They are robbing me. So I had to stop. But I can see that there are also other guys, six of them. They are standing, looking at me. Six.
So yeah, actually, they work together?
Yeah, probably. 100% sure.
Yeah. Yes.
So also those on six, they were having guns also.
Hey! So you only heard the sound, but the actual bullet hitting you?
I didn't hear
you
nothing.
You didn't even feel it.
Nothing.
So wait, so the gunshot was them shooting you?
Yes. When I look back, I found this leg behind me.
Huh?
I just saw another lightning and then I just closed my eyes. Shot again.
One.
Yeah, I shot again.
Same guy.
Yeah.
At that point, you're accepting that I'm dying now.
But, yeah.
So, do you know how many bullets that was? Hola, Senfem, Wararapo, Apsheni, Molweni, Sanbonani, Dimalan. Goeiemore en goedendag. Let's go to Germany. And welcome to yet another episode of I've Been Through the Most podcast right here on Send Twins TV. And whether you are watching this on YouTube or listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, welcome. It's such an honor to have you here and we hope you stay. We definitely hope you stay. And we also want you to please follow us on our different social media platforms.
Yes.
X, we are there. Instagram, TikTok. TikTok is my favorite. I love it. Go and check out our amazing exclusive promos. We also post shorts right here on YouTube. So I know you watch the episodes quite well, but please also check out the shots. They're amazing. Give them a thumbs up and give it a comment because you're communicating to the algorithm that there's definitely something interesting. Interesting here. So it makes a difference for us. So
yes.
Show some love there. Let's get into our episode today. We've got Ribwani who is here to share his story. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, how are you?
We are good. Very well. And how are you?
I'm well. I'm trying. I'm good.
You're trying, yeah, ne?
I'm fine.
Sure. So just to give our audience a background of who you are, can you just introduce yourself, please?
Oh, okay. My name is Sumije Redwan. I'm 29. So I grew up in Venda, deep end there, Venda, Limpopo.
Deep.
That's where I grew up. So I started my schooling there, primary level. Then high school, I finished that side. And then my tertiary, I moved this side because my dad was staying this side. So I had to move this side. Prior to when I finished my matric, it was crazy because the last day I said, I want to go.
What do you mean? Like you finished today and you left that same day?
I remember it was English paper 2. It was on Tuesday. I said, this is my last paper.
I'm leaving. So you dropped out.
I didn't.
He didn't drop out.
He just finished.
Oh. The day he was so excited to leave that
like
the last paper that he wrote on that day he left.
Okay.
He didn't even sleep one day extra.
Because I remember early in the morning when I was preparing to go to school, I packed up my stuff. Small stuff, you see that small bag.
Why?
Because I already pictured myself out in the villages. So I think the whole idea was I just want to go and pursue my dream.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the whole idea.
What was that dream that you were...
You know, I just wanted to go and study. Mm. But that time, I was not sure what is that I want to study.
Okay.
But the idea was I just want to go.
Mm.
Yeah, and just,
did you
just
pass that exam, Mara? Because your mind was already far.
You know, in terms of...
Because can you imagine, his mind is the bags are packed when I leave here. Like, I feel sorry for that exam paper.
Yeah. So it was like, I already knew before that I did it, I made it. Yeah. So let me just finish this thing and this leave. So yeah, I came this side. So prior to that, I also got a job early. You know, it's just this kind of job where you're trying to... So many things before you graduated, you see. Yeah. I liked it. I got a job. So prior to that, it was then I worked. Everything was fine. So, you know, the whole idea was to make it a point that those people back home, you know, my mother, Yeah, so
they can be proud.
Yeah, so she knew that the whole idea to left early and then you just go, I don't want to come back so early, is to pursue all those dreams and start working and just do it for her. Due to how maybe you grow up, the background, you see, yeah. You know, I've got a brother and my twin brother also. So, and my younger sister. So
you have a twin brother?
Yes.
Oh! Are you identical twins?
No, not identical.
Oh,
so
wow.
That one is slender a bit. A bit slender.
Okay.
But he's handsome. He's a good guy. And my brother also. So the whole idea was to just make it fast, you see. Yeah, but doing legal things. Because my brother also, the elder brother, he was also pursuing his side of the studies. He went to China. And then the whole idea was, we also want to do something, you know. Yeah, so it happened that as I was working last year, 2024.
Yes.
Is, so I was from work.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was staying in Sepisong, that side in Krugersdorp. So this day I was from work. It was Friday, 25th January. As normal, you know, Fridays.
Yes.
Everyone is busy. The street is busy.
Very traffic busy Friday.
Yeah, you see. So I went straight to my place and then I took off my working clothes. So I was on a call. So while I was in a call, it disconnected. So I then realized that I ran out of what? Data.
Airtime. Oh, data, okay.
Yeah. So I said, let me rush to go and buy what? Airtime. So on my pocket, I was having 50 rand. So I left the room. I didn't close. I closed, but then I didn't lock the door. I locked the butler.
Okay.
The bar. Yeah, I went out. You see, like that 2 minutes, I'm just running. I'm coming back. Is and then I left my cell phone there charging it. I remember I'm from work, so I just put it out. I think I told myself it's going to be 2 minutes or less. So I'm going out to buy a time with this 50 rand, all of it. Then I'm going to come back and connect. I left my cell phone. I put my keys. Remember, I locked the butler.
Yes.
So I went out. So it's only 1, 2, 3 houses to the shop. When I get there, I found out that the shop is closed. It was around past 6, around January, past 6 late. So I had to say, man, let me rush to the nearest shop again. Because that one, the closest one, was closed.
Was closed.
So also, it's also closed.
Yeah.
Very close.
And normally, it's mostly close late.
It's Friday. It's Monday. Friday,
yeah.
You understand? Friday and Monday. Sure. But I didn't have all these ideas to say why this shop is closed. So I didn't even think about that. So in my mind, I was just, I want airtime. So before I was heading to the second shop, as I was walking, everyone is passing, walking, doing it's business as normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to bump these guys. I'm walking, heading to the shop before I get to the shop. So I bump these guys. These two guys who approached me.
Okay.
Yeah. So when they approached me, I'm just continuing where I'm going. I'm not even thinking about anything. So this other one came this side straight. You see. So as he came straight, as I'm trying to save, he came straight. He discharged the firearm.
Huh?
You see.
So wait, before the firearm, so you walk past them, they bump you.
You see, I'm going.
Yes,
and they're coming.
And they're coming. So it's like a head on sort of they're facing you.
Yes, these two, they are coming.
Yeah.
So I mean, I saw two people.
Yes.
So those ones, I thought maybe it's just people. It's normal. It's like straight. Everyone's walking. So as I tried to go this side, he went this side also. It is just the firearm. So I then realized that, it means they are robbing me. So I had to stop. So this other one, without a gun, he came this side on my right with a knife. He discharged the knife, like, man. A long knife. So I don't know how, but I just said, then I saw, I froze. But in my mind, I thought, because I don't have money, I don't have cell phone, I don't have nothing, let me just stand because I know that I'm having, 50 rand.
Yes. And the people around you now.
Yes, still. But that time, you must know that as I was walking, there were people. But that time, my mind just froze and started to concentrate on what is happening.
Yeah,
you understand? I was not even able to, I can't tell you that I saw people whatsoever.
Yes.
I'll be like, yes, I had to concentrate on this. Immediately, this one, the one who pointed me with the gun, he came at this side.
Sure.
You see. So, as he came at this side on my left, so this other one is searching me. Searching me.
Okay.
You see. So, but I can see that there are also other guys, six of them. They are standing, looking at me. Six.
So, yeah, actually, they work together.
Yeah, probably. 100%
probably,
sure.
Yeah. Yes.
So, also those on six, they were having guns also.
Hey!
So, I'm seeing this one is holding a gun. This other one, this side is holding. This other one at the back, I can see, is holding a gun. But my concentration at the moment was on these ones.
Yay.
I didn't care about this one with a gun because I've never saw a gun before. I mean, I grew up in villages. I've never saw a gun. I've never heard a sound of a gun. And if you had to tell me about a gun, probably maybe seeing you to the police. And it's very rare to see a police because where I grew up, a police station is very far.
Or movies, but not like
you see,
physically.
Like those things, I felt like those are things which are happening like in movies and whatsoever.
Yeah.
So my concentration more was on this one with
the knife.
Because where he put that knife, he put this knife here. So I knew that any movement, this person, even the word, he was so aggressive.
Okay.
You see, but I couldn't see the face. You see, but the words, they were so aggressive. So he continued. He searched me. He got the 50 rand. You see.
Mm.
And then he also got the keys from this side.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Then he held my keys and then put them back in my pocket.
Mm.
Then I heard him telling this other one, said, "Sipopile." That 50 rand that they got. Sipopile.
Are you serious?
Yes. So I'm like, but in my mind, I'm like, I'm just concentrating. Remember, I raised my hands. Because I knew right away that, man, I've got so much to lose. I've got so much to lose. And I'm here. Home is very far. If anything had to happen here.
Yes.
And all this thing which is happening, I'm just one person.
Yes.
With all these people. So those ones, they were laughing. I saw them, this one, I laughed. They were laughing. So this one with the gun said, "Sam, Hamba." I said, "Plakhan." You see, so remember, I have to concentrate going where?
Forward.
I can't turn.
No.
Mm-mm. At that point, I knew that this guy is saying,
run.
There's no way that when he said run, remember everything which was happening so fast, I can't even turn back. I had to just run.
Go straight, yeah.
Yeah. So as I was supposed to run, I had to run passing through
these ones who've got guns as well. Hey.
You see? So I managed to run, as the instructor saying, this guy.
This guy, yes.
I ran 1, 2, 3, 4 steps, 5 steps. I had to pass through those guys. So I don't know, but what I know is
but
I passed
also
through.
6 p.m. It's around 6 p.m. now.
Yes.
It's not dark.
It's not dark. Pass
it's like
two,
daylight.
Maybe, yes,
you
two,
know?
To 7 p.m. Yeah. Pass, yeah, to 7 p.m.
Yeah.
It's still early.
People
it's still
are
light.
Still,
yeah.
Yeah.
At that time, what I know is I didn't saw people moving. Because what was happening is I was just focusing on these.
Right.
So, but what I remember is I passed through those people. Those guys.
Yeah.
To even say they're not guys. They're boys. Very young.
They're just young.
Yeah. Very young. But were the aggressive with what they were having. For me, I feel like this is huge.
Yes.
Ah, this is huge. And in my mind, I thought it is happening. And for the first time, it is happening. You don't know what to do, you see. So as I was passing those guys, I don't know, but what I know is I passed through.
You passed, yes.
Yeah. I heard a sound of, let me just say, a sound of a gun.
Mm.
Like, I'm no longer crying, but I just want to find out how that sound will go away. I don't care what they did, but what I care is how am I going to sleep?
Mm.
Because that first sound is the one which is still clinking every day.
Mm. You can hear it.
Yeah, even now. So he shot that sound. I had to stop. But I didn't hear anything in my body. So my body went off same time.
So you only heard the sound, but the actual bullet hitting you.
I didn't hear
you
nothing.
You didn't even feel it.
Nothing.
So wait, so the gunshot was them shooting you?
Yes. Probably the person who shot me, I'm sure, is this guy.
The one that said run?
Yes, 100%. So he shot. So I heard that sound. I had to stop. I didn't fall down. I had to just stop. Because, the whole body, I don't know. I can't tell you what is that I was feeling. I just felt like something that I can't tell
explain.
You. I can't explain to anyone. Because people will ask you, how do you feel when you got shot? Something that I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I know the numbness of the body, but that one, it's more than that. It's just a shock. That the body just, you just feel like this. So I had to look back. This side with my left side, I had to look back. When I look back, I found this leg behind me.
Huh?
Yeah, I just look at it like this. I didn't fall down. I was standing with the right leg. This leg was behind me.
So they shot the leg?
Yeah. On the femur, here on the thigh. It just cracked sometimes. So it was behind me.
Oof.
So as it was behind me, just a second. It can't be a second because I just saw another lightning and then I just closed my eyes. He shot again.
One.
Yeah, he shot again.
Same guy.
Yeah. But the time, I can't see the face. I just said, that lightning.
Mm.
Yeah. Then he shot me. I fell down.
On the second bullet?
Yes. The second bullet is the one which made me fall down. I fell down. So I remember he's shooting me from behind.
Mm. Mm.
So I had to fall down with this
that knee.
Mm. And then with my chest. And then with this side was ahead. To look at this opposite. You see, so I fell down. Then I felt that I got shot. I can't hear nothing. So I heard.
So even now you're not feeling any pain?
The pains that I'm feeling. Yeah. The pains that I'm feeling. But it's okay. So he shot the second time. So I fell down. So as I fell down, so I'm trying to turn back my head. Remember, I fell with my knee.
Mm.
And then my chest, this side. So I heard footsteps. Before I heard footsteps, I heard those ones, they're laughing. So I knew that is these guys. So I heard footstep is coming. before he approached me, because it's very, very close. I can run five steps. Mm-hmm. Running.
Yeah, you're still close.
Very
yeah.
close. So he continued to...
Again!
He's shooting. So now he's shooting, remember, also shooting from behind, and I fell also. I don't know, they went from behind. They are coming this side on my stomach. Yeah, so I just had to lie there. He shot. He get closer. He shot. So probably he wanted to shoot me on my head. So, but I remember there's another bullet which shot straight this side. And then it hit down. And then I saw lightning. And then that's I just lightning. Closed my eyes like that. But I knew that this guy killed me already. Why is he still continue shooting like this?
So you, at that point, you're accepting that I'm dying now.
It's not like I'm dying. I knew right away that I'm dead. Because at that same moment, I was bleeding with my... This ear. Because I sleep this, I can see blood, like, coming this side. And also with my nose and also my eyes, they were bleeding.
Yep.
So this guy, he shot me. And then I just told myself that, let me just turn back. I turn back my head. I don't know how. I saw him very close, like here. I asked him, why are you killing me? What have I done? I asked that.
Yeah, like, yes, why?
Yes, because what? Like, you did why? Nothing.
I'm not fighting. I don't have even a knife. Not even nothing. Yeah, he knows wherever he is. He knows. I don't care anymore because what he did to me, he killed me. He just killed me alive. If maybe he has got that soul of a human being, he must know that. He killed someone. Irregardless of how many people he has killed once, I don't know. But he must know that he killed someone. If he is to sit down with me and then had a glimpse of my life, I don't care. But he killed me. It was my dreams, my career, my life, my youth, everything.
Everything.
Vanished
he
from
me. He stripped that. All away from
everything,
you. So
yeah.
Do you know how many bullets that was?
Yeah, six.
Six bullets.
Mm-hmm.
For just walking, doing nothing.
50 rand. That 50
for
rand.
For 50 rand, which yeah. they took.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to shoot you.
Number one, people are asking me, what is it that you might have said? What is that you might have done?
Nothing.
There are people who knows me. People who ask those questions, people maybe who want to know, maybe who don't know me. But what I can tell is, my wrong was to go out to buy a time. That's the thing that I did.
Nothing else.
Well, people will sit here and then start to ask, maybe, were you having an affair with someone's woman? Or I've never been in that situation in my life. And... prior to that period of a time.
This was not pre-planned for you. You feel like you're at the wrong place at the wrong time.
For me, right now, I'm not thinking like that. I just felt like it had to happen like that to me.
Yeah, sure.
Why? Because of me being continuing with the whole gene. I had to find all the reasons why these things happen. Maybe all these purposes, why all these things had to happen to me like that. I can't say maybe I find myself in the wrong place in the wrong time. No, because maybe it might be when someone is like that, you start to think maybe when people were robbing somewhere, then you were there, you understand? It was not like that. It was not like that. I believe that was my story.
That's your story.
Yeah.
And God saved you. Do you realize that it was a miracle?
Yeah, 100%. Because
this is, you are like, a rare case. People die from just one bullet.
One bullet. Yeah.
You had six and you're sitting here to tell your story.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. God saved your life.
I'm telling you.
And you also know that he saved it for a reason.
you know, you indeed. Still have a divine purpose.
Indeed.
You know, and that purpose is, yes, it's still coming, but you'll soon find out to say, God, wow,
yeah,
this is why you 100%. Saved my life.
100%. Because while I was lying there, I don't know, maybe for 30 minutes or 40 minutes, I don't know, while I was just lying there, I don't know. I just heard the voice. So it was me. I was calling my mother. Called my mother that if I'm to die here, who's going to tell my mother the truth?
Okay. Who killed me? About what actually happened.
Who killed me? Why did that person kill me? Because people will come up with a lot of stories.
Right.
It's only me and the truth. You see, it's only me and that person the truth. One way or other, there has to be the truth. Who did this? Why? I just wake up when I wake up. But at the same time while I was, I remember when I woke up, I called my mother. I had a footstep of someone walking, but as if like I'm dreaming. I'm sleeping, dreaming. So,
yeah.
So I had a footstep. So I had to open my eyes, look in the same direction where I slept. Then I'm seeing a lady, Chabinyana. She's pressing her phone.
Mm-hmm.
So this lady, I think she's drunk, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
She's pressing her phone. She's crossing the road. So I called it. I called it. Said, sis. She said, hey, Wena, why are you sleeping there? What have you, what were you doing there? You see, she said, hey, leave me alone. I said, sis, I've been shot. I said, my sister, I've been shot. And then she came as close as she can. So she switched on the light of her phone.
Yeah.
Immediately when she switched off on the light, she realized that she stepped on a pool of blood.
Eesh.
So a lot of blood. Then when she just, you see, like a blood, it's like, like water, now it's dark.
Yeah.
It was just flowing like, yo. I don't have a glimpse of that, but then a human being has got a lot of blood. So much. She ran away, that lady. She didn't touch me, she didn't talk to me, she just ran away.
She's never seen anything like that.
Yeah, she ran away. And then in my mind, I thought, oh, this lady, she ran away, so I'm dead. No one is going to help me anymore.
But what I wanted to ask, before the lady came, do you feel like you died and then you woke up again?
It's things that I can't tell people, then they will understand. And I feel like if I'm to tell people now, people will think, this guy is crazy.
Yes.
I don't know who's going to sit down with me and listen, or maybe, and I would tell, not even my parents, not even my family. I can't tell them what had happened to that day, but I am the one who know.
Yeah.
I have the fear to tell people what I saw.
Sure.
So I feel like in all these issues, I feel like if I'm to tell people what I saw, people would think that this guy is crazy. You see?
So during that 30 minutes of you lying there,
there's a lot that happened.
There's a lot that happened. Because your physical being shut down and you're completely awake in your spirit.
Yeah. But this is where I was walking in a smaller grass, very small. Not even my knee, very small. So I was just walking in that grass. Just green. So there's a small gate, you see, like a horse gate, white. So I had to enter. Before I enter, I had someone said, go back. What do you want here? Go back.
Yeah.
But it's something that I don't want to dwell more on that. People will think, this guy, what are you talking about? You know, because of the society that now we're living in.
People won't believe me if I told them.
Yeah, even if I'm to tell people from that day until every day, until today, what is happening. It's just that when I'm living with you normal, but I know when I'm sleeping, there's a lot. When I'm talking to you, I know that there's a lot that I'm seeing, but it's something that I can tell people, you know. Yeah. In my mind, I know that I also have the fear to tell people.
Sure.
What is it that people will say?
Because it's so traumatic.
Now I'm like this, you see. I'm physically broken. And then maybe people want to hear something from you who is physically fit, you understand? Maybe from someone who can run or whatsoever, do whatsoever. Mm-hmm. That's where maybe people start to believe. So in my mind, I'm like, there are things, certain things that I can't even disclose to people, not even my family, not even the closest person, who's maybe my brother. I can't, because I feel like, how am I going to say those things? It's only me. It's only me and then my Bible. And when I pray, I know that there's certain things. Even people, when they do try to say, pray like this, do like this. But I know there's a certain way that I have to do things. That I know that there's someone who's communicating with me. I have to talk like this. I have to pray like this. You see?
So you know God saved you.
That was not even pastor or prophet or whoever who can save me. That
God himself. God.
Yeah.
Literally.
Not even million of people can come and save me.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, no. That was God.
That was God.
Yeah, that was God.
And even after that, having 6 bullets, you lying in the pool of blood, you could still not feel pain.
But that time, I didn't feel pain.
You didn't feel anything?
Nothing. I started to feel pain. So immediately when the lady ran away, so in my mind, as I said, I thought maybe no one's going to help me. Within a minute, I saw plasma, 50 people. I'm telling you.
Passing.
Coming.
Oh,
surrounding me.
Gathering
there.
Okay, yeah.
You see, within a minute, period of a minute, I saw many people, so many people. But the lady whom I spoke to, even today, I don't know that lady. The lady who lied the flesh, I don't know her. I wish I can know her. I wish maybe I can talk to her. Like,
why?
Who are you?
What makes her person? So special, you think?
I feel like...
Do you think she woke you up in a way?
I feel like God sent that woman to come there.
When you needed...
Yeah.
So some sort of response.
Yeah.
Okay, do you think she was an angel?
For me, I feel like life is more spiritual rather than people think. Like, you see?
Because it's when he was trying to connect with his mom somehow.
Yeah.
He needed a little bit of response and hope, and the footsteps came, the conversation came, and just that light, and just, I don't know, but she served a purpose. That's what I'm getting from
this. That's the woman
this.
Who saved me.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the woman who saved me. Because if I'm to lie there or 5 minutes or 10 minutes next, I don't know what was going to happen due to how I was bleeding. It's just that, as I said earlier, when you have a chance to tell people, you must have that divine in you to tell people. You understand? Because now my life is more spiritual. Although there's no church that I am going to, I believe that a church is me. If I start by believing what had happened to me, that was God. This
but
is the
don't
church.
You think you're taking on too much on yourself? Because if you're not physically fit, yes, because even if you go to a church, right, that community, as much as you feel that people will not relate, you need that support.
100%.
You need people to help you pray when you don't feel like praying. Like you need humans, like, you know.
Sure. So, because most of the time, I always, it's just crazy how trauma pushed people away. Those people who have to help you. We have to be with you. We have to walk.
They don't
this
know
unit.
How to sometimes. It's not like they don't want to, but they don't know how to. So they end up not being
understand.
There.
Yes, because at some point, this journey, it needs a motherly love.
Yes.
You understand? Someone, even if it's a father or it's a mother, but it needs that person who knows a heart of a human
genuinely,
being. You understand? Because to say yesterday I used to do certain things by myself, today I can't. I need people to help me.
I was about to say, I mean, okay, surely you went to hospital, just to fast forward the story.
Yeah.
And then after that, you probably needed to care.
I'm hoping one of those 50 people called the ambulance.
No one called the ambulance there. Because what had to happen is, I remember there's this lady, there were these other guys who were cutting my clothes, also cutting, like, so that they will stop blood.
Okay,
the
okay.
Blood which was flowing, yeah. So there's a lady who said, I remember, I heard that, what she was, she said, if we're to wait for an ambulance, this guy is going to die. Within a minute, I saw a light, like it's a car, so it's a police van. Mm-hmm. So they came. Luckily, those two guys, one who is speaking my language. So mm-hmm. I had begged him, please put me in that car, and then drove me to hospital.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to wait for an ambulance, I'm going to die. He refused, said, no, I'm not allowed to. Of which now I understand, but that mm-hmm. time I didn't understand. And that time I needed water. I needed so much water.
You're thirsty.
Yes, like I was thirsty. How so? But I was bleeding with my mouth, but then I needed water.
Phew.
You see, so now, fast forward, this other lady said, I'm going to take you to hospital with my car.
Okay.
And then let me speak with my husband.
Like humane, hey?
Let me speak with my husband. A car just came then. I'm seeing people trying to hold me, yeah, to carry me, and then they had to realize that this leg is fractured, totally fractured.
Sure.
This one also is just dislocated. It's no longer on my body. And then on my stomach also is a mess, just a mess.
Yeah.
My intestines, just a mess. So they managed to put me inside the car, mm-hmm. and then they drove me to hospital. Mm-hmm. When I get to hospital, when I get to hospital, they have to see that, to realize this is an emergency.
Yes.
Yeah, no one had to help me there
huh.
in hospital. So I had to stay there maybe 3 or 4 hours.
No.
No one was helping me.
No one attended you.
He just put me on a stretcher and leave me by the corridors. They pushed me and leave me there by the corridors. There's no way
I can. Which hospital was this?
That hospital in Leratong Hospital. So they just had to leave me there.
For hours?
Maybe 4 hours.
And you are bleeding every
day? Yeah, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Maybe four full hours, I guess. So the
point,
lady who
I'm
brought
sure you're
me.
I'm thinking, this is it.
The way I was bleeding. I was so worried due to how I was bleeding. Because I started bleeding there on the scene. While I'm still sleeping on that stretch, I'm still bleeding. I could see blood flowing. I'm still sleeping, blood flowing.
Trauma from the bed.
Mm. Yeah.
So much trauma.
So, luckily, the woman who took me to hospital, she said to me, "Why are you staying?" I said, "I'm staying alone." Then, who is the person that maybe we can contact so that they will know?
Oh, wow, that lady.
I gave her my twin brother's what? So, phone number. So, probably, I guess, the moment when they took over.
Yeah.
She left. Maybe they didn't allow her to do what? To get in.
Yeah.
Maybe she left. And then she called my twin brother. What I heard is, I heard my twin brother coming on the corridor. You see?
Mm.
I heard him shouting, screaming.
Mm.
So he's approaching. Probably he's approaching where I was.
Mm.
I was shouting so much that everyone could just leave whatever that they were doing and concentrating on what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got saved. To even say, if my twin brother didn't come, what was going to happen?
No, nothing.
And then that's where they started to take me. And then
I think looking at his condition, they had already decided, just let him die.
Yeah.
They were like, no, anyway, like, yeah. Look at the bullets.
Situation. So,
they didn't want to fight.
Yeah. But then I wake up. Then the following day, I think I'm here. And it's just, I didn't understand nothing. You see, so I stayed in hospital. Things which were happening in hospital was very traumatic. It's another things which they are still happening, like in my mind. I always have all those plays in my mind to say, why could one have to leave someone in that condition? Why could someone has to treat another person like that? There are all the treatment that I got because I stayed there for almost a year, the whole year in hospital. So the whole treatment, it was so bad. But somewhere, somehow, they helped me.
Mm.
They saved my life. But I can't say it was not enough because no one knows when a person is going to die.
Yeah.
It's only God.
Only God.
Even if they left me there in those small rooms, having maggots dying there, maybe them, they thought maybe this guy is already dead, or why is he refusing to die all this time? Mm. I don't know, but it's always something that I always have in my mind. But
yes,
what kept me going is when it's during the night, I know that there's something happening that I can't tell anyone. You see, I can't even tell even my family that.
So at what night, that happens at night?
It's like maybe my twin brother will come and say, you carry me. You see, when you're sleeping on a bed,
yes,
on that sheet, you just come and roll that sheet. I will be inside. Then you carry me. You go with me. Immediately when they came and switch off the light.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I never told anyone that.
Huh?
When they switch off the light, I know that is his time. He come and carry me.
To take you away.
Maybe by the mountain, you prepare fire, then you sit there. You put me in that sheet. You tell me that you are not supposed to be there. I will take you back around 4.
In the morning?
Yeah.
And you'd spend
the whole night
with him?
Yeah, you tell me.
You talk.
Look at how they're leaving you there. Look how dead you are.
Wait, is this what would really happen or in your mind?
Which was happening every day. But it's something, as I said earlier.
Wow.
I can't tell people those things.
So those things kept you alive?
Yeah, because you would tell me that there's a nurse who's going to come. She will come with this kind of medication or what. So if she will say this, do not eat that. Do not drink those medications. Do like this. And you will come like this. And I will know.
So does your twin remember taking you?
No, I've never even talked to him about it.
Told him?
Nothing. Never ever
did. Like spiritually?
Yeah.
These things happen in the spirit.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand that. Hence I'm saying he knows. That's why he never spoke to his child. Because he loves his brother.
But
your brother would...
Wow. I won't tell him. I've never told
him. So you would know if something is
100%.
Suspicious. Like if someone gives you, so you medication.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So every night you would leave.
Even like they will book me, like maybe they could have booked me maybe they booked me maybe 10 or 15 times to go to surgery to the theater.
Yes,
they will cancel. Might have stayed there for 6 months with a fractured leg, not maybe just a total fractured. This piece. This side is a dislocated hip with a bullet locked this side. Also, there's a bullet locked this side. What they did, they put a colostomy. You know what is a colostomy?
Mm-mm.
So when someone is no longer going to be able to go to the toilet. So they had to put
the
this bag.
That's a separate bag. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm no longer able to use a toilet anymore. Not even a pee. I was never, because of why. There's another bullet which penetrated from the anal part and then it just opened the hole. So it's just a mess. Nothing will ever work. You understand? They just said.
Do you still have bullets in your body?
Yes, two of them.
You still have two bullets?
Yes.
So they removed 4 bullets from your body?
They didn't remove. I think they just came.
Oh, so the bullets that were still in your body, they couldn't remove them.
I don't know how. Why
can't
they
remove the bullets?
I don't know. Because I can see that there's another attempt that they tried to do on my hip. Because now I'm living with the hip dislocated. You can see my legs like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also because you can't walk now.
I can't walk.
So that's why I'm thinking, is it maybe because the bullets are still in your body or it was less of a risk to just leave them there?
No. what I asked, because I was that patient who is, you know, that when you
inquisitive, yes.
Yeah, that patient whom you say, when you go there, there's that patient. You know, like everyone knows about me, like.
Because you were there for so long.
Yeah, I would, number one, I used to fight for my life. Maybe then they thought maybe he's just fighting. But I knew that what is happening when I'm sleeping, you see, there's more. So I had to find, I didn't want anyone to just touch me. Just you, you understand? Yes, if you want to touch me, you must know that I will ask you so many questions of why and all these things. Mm. Understand?
You're already protective with your
space.
Yes,
because I knew that there's so much, you see. So now the whole idea was not for me to give up. I stayed there in hospital, and then they didn't discharge me. They just told me that you have to go home because you've been staying here for a long time. There's nothing that we're helping you with, you see. So they said, you go home for 7 days. Then so the 8th day, you have to come back. When I went there in the hospital, they said, there's no bed until today. There's no bed. So we had to go in another hospital. Also, the another hospital, they told us the damage that the hospital did or the negligence that they did, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is that they were supposed to do to avoid all the mess, you understand, of which maybe they told me that you'll never sit, you'll never stand up, you're just going to be parallel like that, of which, but the grace, from there being parallel, now I'm using crutches. So you see.
You're fighting. You're a fighter.
So for me, I always hear people saying, you're strong. Should there be someone who knows how weak I am? Because I cry so much. I don't know. People say a man doesn't cry.
But that's not it's not a sign of weakness.
Yeah, so maybe having all this negativity about suicidal thoughts, all those things, they always appear in my mind.
They come. So you think you're weak. When people say you're strong, you're like, you have no idea.
Yeah, like if ever you had to sit close to me.
But have you gone for counseling? Have you gone for
therapy? No.
Nothing.
I believe
so
that.
You need to do all of that. But have you done, what do they call it, rehab, you know, where they teach you how to walk again?
No, all these things they did there in the hospital ever since, nothing.
You've
no
been,
one ever,
this has been never. An independent journey.
Yeah.
And how's your mom handling it?
Yes, sure.
You know, my mom, I love that lady. She's very strong.
Mm.
I know that people might look at her in anyhow, but I know that's one of the strongest person ever.
Yeah.
Because a lot of things happening to her closest people.
Okay.
She's still having the heart to lift me up every day.
Yeah.
And also there's so many people who get hold of me. I have so many motherly love now from different part of the world.
Mm.
There are those who try to reach out. There are people who say, I'll do this, I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole idea, you know, is I just want to be operated for this leg to be fine.
Yeah.
And then they also put a nail on this leg.
Okay.
And then I'm having a wound which is oozing since last year, April, it's still oozing. You see. So
they've put in like those wires, ne?
No, it's not a wire. It's like a nail, like from they operated me. They put.
It's like a steel. It's like a long nail.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking
but
about.
But then that wound is still oozing because remember, you know that the wound, the operation started on my hip here, until on my knee.
To support.
Yes.
So who's taking care of you at home?
It's me.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
you still need medical support. You still need
so much
funds. So you
much.
Still need proper so surgeries much. Done to you. Because I feel like there was a lot of damage that was done. 100%. So a lot of damage control needs to be done. Because you're in a lot of pain. So what people don't know here in studio, he's in a lot of pain. He was in a lot of pain even before we started shooting. So, but we're really hoping for the best for you. We're hoping something good can come out of this episode.
Yeah.
For people to reach out, medical professions to reach out. I don't believe this is the end.
Mm.
I believe that you're here for a reason. And, you know, God has really, truly, truly, truly saved your life for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad that you can see
his mighty hand and how he has rescued you literally. But we have to close now. I'm hoping that you can come for a part two, and hopefully with a different story, some good news, you know, from it, something coming out of this. So I'm just calling out to the people who know how to make things happen. If there's anyone or anything that you can help Rebuani, you know, just come out of this, whether it's emotional support, psychological support, physiological support. Listen.
Everything.
Let's come in and see.
Be what the community we can do that he needs.
Yeah.
And I hope that you can also, you know, find a place where you are, like, you are at a good place, you know, because like physical is just part of it. And then there's the spiritual aspect of it, you know, to just find that peace within your soul. And I can see that you don't have this hatred and anger towards the people that did this to you. And that for me is shows me like what a good person you are. You have a good heart, you know, because you could be sitting here and just bashing these guys, and it's not even about them at this point, So, yeah, but I you know, we really need to pray hard for our country, because imagine there's people like that walking around who unprovoked would shoot somebody that did absolutely nothing to them. That is sad. That is honestly sad. And they're continuing walking free. Hopefully not. Hopefully justice is served and they get caught somewhere, because you can't just walk around with a firearm like that.
Well, you know, we serve a good God. And sometimes when we give him our heavy load and our heavy burdens, he handles it in the best way he knows how.
Yeah. Handle it, Lord.
Fix it, Jesus.
Fix it, Jesus. Please, Lord.
I'm just grateful, you know. Sorry. I'm just grateful, you know, for all the people who are trying to reach out on me. And then also, there are people who just get my number or my social media and then say, I'm going to do this. I feel like if someone doesn't have like something to say, it's better you just see and
leave
pass.
Because you
plant hope in me. If you had to call me and then you say, I'm a doctor or I'm a nurse or I'm whatsoever, will help you with it. In me, I feel like that breakthrough is tomorrow. And then hence,
they just keep quiet.
Yeah, and I can't have the power to get back to you and say what you promised me. Because I believe that people don't owe me nothing. So that thing, people don't know that they're killing me also by just getting old. It's better if you know that you can help. I'm always open. As I said, I'm always open for operation. What I need is an operation. But it's okay. Even spiritual part, it's okay. I also take that, because I now believe all this situation put me very close, very, very close, praying and all that. But then I also want to be fine, to be normal.
Yeah.
I just want to be normal.
And you will be.
The whole idea is for me to be normal.
I believe that. I believe that is what's going to happen. Don't stop believing that. Don't stop believing, because that's exactly what is going to happen. You will be fine. You will be at a place where you can feel like I'm back to myself. Feel normal again and not have to be in so much pain.
Because now it's winter.
It's worse. I'm so sorry, Rebuani. I'm so sorry. What a sad ending, right? What a sad ending. But God is in the story, and he will have the final say in Rebuani's life. We wish you nothing but the best, Rebu, and we really hope that our community can come through and not plant those false hopes. We're really hoping for something positive. And thank you for sharing your story. I know when you share a story like this, you have to relive moments. And that's not always easy. So thank you, Senfam, for watching, for subscribing, and for liking.
Yes, we appreciate you joining us on today's episode. Make sure you comment down below. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Of course, share this episode. Don't skip the ads. Do the right thing. And we will see you on the next one. For myself, Millicent.
And myself, Innocent. And for my incredible, strong man, Rebuani.
Thank you so much.
Bye for now.
Thank you. I went through the most. Went through the most. I